Proverbs 10, 27 and 28 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." And we've previously discussed how that the fear of the Lord prolongs our days, barring sudden death by events out of our control. Those of us who fear the Lord will not cut our lives short by doing something wicked that results in a premature death. In other words, those who fear the Lord and are in our right minds, especially not abusing drugs or alcohol, will not tend to die prematurely. Obviously, the wicked will do such things, and so it says, "The years of the wicked shall be shortened." And verse 28 then goes on to contrast the righteous and the wicked on the matter of hope and expectations. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." The righteous will not only live longer, but we have a hope that endures and will be accomplished, while the wicked, whatever their expectations may be, shall perish. Now, what do I mean by whatever their expectations may be? Well, if you're a wicked Islamic suicide bomber, you expect to wake up after blowing yourself up and others to find that you are in paradise, with all the fleshly desires of an unsaved man being fulfilled, with wealth, wine, and women, and 72 virgins, to be exact. But that expectation will perish as they wake up in hell the moment after blowing themselves up. But let's be clear, it's not just the supposedly really bad people who are wicked. All men and women are, by the very nature, wicked. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For example, the Roman Catholic who's devout, refusing to repent of that false religion while rejecting salvation by faith in the gospel alone, apart from good works, will wake up in hell when they die, thinking that they are in purgatory paying for their own sins. When removed to face the great white throne judgment, they may believe they've paid their part and now they're going to heaven. But that expectation will perish as they are then cast into a lake of fire. We could go on and on with examples of Christ rejecting wicked people having expectations like those taught by the Mormon cult, the Watchtower cult, or the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses. The Hindu, the Buddhist, the animist, the atheist, the agnostic, the New Ager, or just those good old boys who make up a God in their own image and think they're okay. The only difference between you and I, who are saved, and these referred to as the wicked, is the person and work of Jesus Christ in us. We are wicked if left to ourselves. There's nothing in or of us that is good. It is only the simple willingness to receive God's word and allow His Spirit to work in us that makes all the difference between the wicked and the righteous. Speaking of the faith of Abraham in Romans 4, 22-25, Paul explains that God recognized Abraham's faith, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Have you believed on Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, having trusted in His death as payment for your sin? Our hope, then, is the result of faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." Our hope is in Christ, not in ourselves. And that hope, being based in Jesus Christ, is a sure thing. It will be accomplished, and it will turn into enjoyment. That's the way John Wesley described it in his notes. We have that confidence. The word hope, when you think of it in the Bible, it is really the word hope in the sense of confidence. We know it will be accomplished and turned into enjoyment. We have God's word on it. There's nothing more sure than God's word.